Welcome to Closer to Christ, the sermon podcast from St. Paul's Lutheran Church and the Bridge in Muskego, Wisconsin. You can learn more about our ministries at stpaulmuskego.org. And now for this week's message.
Resurrection reality. Let's read 1 John 4, 1 through 6. The Apostle John writing, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." That's our next song, by the way. "They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. This is the word of our God." Dear friends in Christ Jesus, are you sitting in the right church this morning? If you're a member at the Bridge and at St. Paul's, are you a member at the right church? And do you have the right spiritual shepherds in the four pastors that you have? The Bridge is part of St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church. That's a mouthful of words to wrap your brain and your faith around. What does that mean, right? You do know that you have other options here in Muskego for Christian churches. I Googled it, and I came up with this. I think it's a short list, only 14. That's interesting. Other options in Muskego. And then I was thinking about our brothers and sisters at MKE, and I'm going, wow, they got a lot more options. That's just really too small for any of us to read. Trust me that this Google found 120 Lutheran churches alone in Milwaukee. That's a lot of churches, right? And then going one step further, this next slide, wow, 12 different broad stroke varieties of Christian churches up top. Along the left side are 11 doctrinal questions, and then each church weighs in. And you're like, wow. What a cacophony of voices. You know what a cacophony is, right? Adam's playing today, right? A cacophony. Cacophony is Greek for bad sounding. So a cacophony would be if Adam would come over and take all 10 fingers and thump them down on the piano, on the keyboard on random keys, and then as fast as he could, jump his hands around, and after about a minute, we'd say, "Stop already, the cacophony of noise is driving me nuts." Right? Satan loves the cacophony of voices in the Christian church. It's a bit like this guy. His wife sent him to the grocery store to find olive loaf, and he is perplexed. He doesn't realize he's in the wrong aisle. He's just going, man, there's a lot of choices of bread. What do I do? What do I do? Do I call her and tell her and admit I'm an olive loaf? Have you been to a symphony orchestra or heard a strings ensemble? Okay, a good number of us. You're probably familiar with the role of the concert master. The concert master is a he or she who has a variety of duties, but one of the duties of the concert master is to give the note for the whole orchestra to tune to. Emma Bonach was on keys the last services through the week, and she and I were pretty much having a conversation in the course of getting this down for the sermon. But we agreed that typically the concert master will use the oboe or a violin, and the note that they give is an A. Emma explained why. I'll tell you later. but an A. And as soon as the concertmaster strikes the A, every instrument tries to hit that, and it's just this cacophony of noise, and they're slowly adjusting and tuning, until all of a sudden in the end, it's the sweet one note of all the instruments, and the sweet music can begin. What to do with the cacophony of voices in Christianity? You know, I make sure I'm not jumping the gun here. I'm going to wait. Oh, no, I'll do it now. If I get more excited with you guys, okay? So there are times that I think to myself, if I were an unbeliever, a non-Christian today, I would think twice about becoming a Christian. Because, let me back up, right? There. I'd think twice. You guys can't even figure your God out. Why would I want to weigh into that? Think of the confusion. The devil loves the cacophony of voices in the Christian church. What did John tell us? John wrote this. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. What does John tell us to do with all the voices, all the spirits out, that are out there? He says, listen to the voices. Listen and test the spirits. And he uses the word spirit for all prophets. Because in truth, all prophets, all preachers are moved by a spirit. All Christian preachers claim the spirit. But all preachers are moved by a spirit. Think about what Jesus said the night before he died. Upper room, talking to his disciples. And he's telling them, I'm going to leave you. They hadn't wrapped their brains and faith around yet this whole suffering and dying and rising for sin and the death of the world and going to heaven and promising life after death. But he was telling them, after I leave, I'm going to give you a helper, the Holy Spirit. He says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So Jesus said, I'm leaving. But the Holy Spirit from God will be in you, and he will remind you of everything that I have said. And you guys are going to write it down so that my people in the future will have my words. Write it down. The Holy Spirit will help you. The Spirit that is in the words of God and the church of God. But it's important to recognize that there's another spirit at work in the world. Think of what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says to these Ephesians who had come out of unbelief to faith in Christ, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the earth, right? The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The spirit, the other spirit at work in this world is Satan, right? All prophets claim inspiration of the Spirit, but Satan is also at work in this world, working to teach and to preach against all that Jesus is. And John says, test the spirits, test them. Why? Because he says many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many. A professor of mine in the course of my training said years ago, he said, gentlemen, for every false teaching, there is a church. Ponder that. For every false teaching, there is a church. And we're thinking to ourselves, wow, what to do? What to do? It's just a noise, right? Well, lo and behold, John lets us know that there is a litmus test. test for preachers. Litmus test. Remember high school chemistry? Who remembers high school chemistry? Many decades ago for some of us, right? Litmus strips. You know, you Google litmus strips right now, and they are really cool. I mean, it's kits and all these different colors. But back in the day, it was like this. And you were given this cup of water or this beaker full of stuff, and your job was to figure out what was in it. And the first thing you grabbed was litmus test strips. Now, don't be overly impressed. Google helps. Litmus is like crushed up lichen that grows on rocks with fungi and stuff, and you soak that into these strips. That's what's on. Litmus is a variety of lichen, okay? And you dip the strip in the water, and here's our test, our quiz for chemistry. You dip that strip in the liquid, and if it comes out red, you are dealing with an? Very good, an acid. Last hour was very faint, faintest of all. If it comes out blue, you're dealing with? Basic, alkaline, right? Alkaline, right? So, a test strip. John says, we have a test strip to test the spirits. He said this. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. You and I have been given a litmus test wrapped up in the person of Jesus. And the litmus test takes us from Easter back to Christmas. Because Christmas is all about the Son of God becoming flesh, becoming human. The Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, with God as his Father, so that Jesus is God and man in one person. And John says, make sure your preacher recognizes God and man in one person. And the question would be, well, so what? Why is that important? Well, a week and a half ago, we're sitting in ministry team meeting, and when I asked that question, what's the big deal? What's so important? Without missing a beat, our principal, Seth Fitzsimmons, said this. He said, if he didn't come in the flesh, he didn't die. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son into death, that whoever believes in him will not perish from sin and death and hell, but will live forever with God in heaven. If Jesus didn't come in the flesh, he didn't die, and we don't have a Savior. Great litmus test. But there's a little bit more. I thought about that, and I thought this. If he didn't come in the flesh, he's just another voice in the cacophony of spirituality in this world. But if he is the Son of God, born of Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, still to this day, God, guess what? Every word he spoke was the voice of God. Even things like, I thirst from the cross. The voice of God to fulfill a prophecy. But it changes everything if he is God. Think of what the writer to the Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 1. He said, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors, the Old Testament Jews, through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Do you see, Jesus is the final word, you blank fillers, the final word. He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. We've seen him. Mankind has. And the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The litmus test is Jesus, God and man, died for sin, raised to life. Every word he speaks is the voice of God. You might be thinking, well, that's pretty cool, Pastor, but what does that have to do with me? So on the slide, you see three images. Which one is you? Yeah, upper left, can't claim him. That's the Lord Jesus walking out of the tomb, the first guy to ever do it, you're going to follow. Bottom left ain't you either. That is the good shepherd. He's walking ahead of his sheep, because you probably know by now that Middle Eastern shepherds don't drive their sheep like we do in the West. They lead them, and the shepherd listens to the voice, right? So that's right, you and I are this little guy. I was told after first service, we are a farming family a little bit. This is a Cheviot sheep. But that sheep is you. That sheep is me. Now, notice the posture of this sheep. If you know animals like this, white-tailed deer, sheep, animals like this, their ears, God has given them amazing ability to cup their ears and actually to turn them in the direction of the sound to hear, right? So this sheep is on alert. Because, you see, that's what sheep do. This sheep is testing. Something's coming at him, and he or she is testing. It's what sheep do. As I thought about that, testing the spirits, I went a little bit different route. That's what my brain does. I remember 20 years ago when I would drive with my daughters from Cedarburg down to Wisconsin Lutheran High School, and I would drop them off at the high school, and I would go a block and a half to Wisconsin Lutheran College and work, and then I'd go pick them up and take them home. And on those drives to and from, we spent a lot of time together. It was great stuff. It really was. But a lot of it was FM 106.1, which back in those days was country music. And my daughters loved country, and every once in a while, they'd be just singing at the top of their lungs this country song, and I kind of do a little bit of a rap. I go, ladies, and I didn't say it quite like this, but it's like, I gotta be testing the spirits for you. This song is for married people only. And they go, Dad, don't ruin it. Just let us sing. I'm like, I'm just doing my job, teaching you how to test the spirits, right? Because remember what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 119. Teaches us to say, your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Without the word of God, you and I don't know what the path is. Without the word of God, we cannot find the path. And always remember, on this journey called life, Satan is not a passive spirit. Satan's aggressive. In fact, Peter says that he is a roaring lion prowling around seeking someone to devour. Satan is this spirit of the Antichrist of which John speaks. Satan means adversary. He's opposed to everything that is Jesus. And he loves nothing more than to speak falsehoods into our ears and into our lives, because Jesus himself said that Satan is the father of lies, right? You and I know how that works. We've seen it in Scripture and in our own lives. We'll keep it to Scripture for now. In the Garden of Eden, Satan did not come at Adam and Eve with a frontal assault. You guys, hey, stop trusting in the Creator. I'm better. Follow me. No. He came along. He said, hey, look at this beautiful piece of fruit. It's wonderful to eat, and God doesn't want you to have it, but if you follow me, you can have it. And he pulled them in. Think of how Satan worked on Judas. He didn't come to Judas and say, you know, Judas, this Jesus of Nazareth guy, he is such a lame Messiah. Just follow me. No, he got at Judas's heart with shiny things, silver and gold. 30 pieces of silver, and I'll betray him to you, and I'll do an end around, and somehow it'll all work out, until it didn't. And he saw Jesus being betrayed. And then Satan closed the trap and sent Judas into a spiral of death and destruction that he never came out of. And we will not see him in heaven. You see, Satan is on the prowl as the spirit of falsehood. And John says to us, test the spirits. You do know that part of your job this morning is testing this spirit, this preacher. I always tell those members of our Following the Promise classes, if you're not a member of St. Paul's, guess what? You got a job for the next 12 weeks. Your job is to interview St. Paul's. Are we a church that teaches this book and only this book and everything in this book to the glory of Jesus and to the health of our souls? And if when we're done, you say, yeah, St. Paul's teaches what the Bible says, I said, then maybe you want to join us. But our job is to test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So that's the warning for us. Is there a positive spin a little bit for us? How can we be part of the voice of the shepherd? Well, again, back at ministry team a week and a half ago, when we were talking about this, Pastor Pete threw out an interesting thought. He said, you know, if I had 5 minutes to tell you about my faith, I would not talk about angels. I would talk about Jesus Christ, crucified, died, and risen for the forgiveness of sins, because he's the heart of the message. He is the God come in flesh to save us from sin. So, testing the spirits is who we are. Speaking into the voice and with the voice of the shepherd is who we are as well. John goes on and says, because by the way, whenever I get to 1 John 4 and I first start reading, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. It almost seems kind of dark and mysterious. You're like, ooh, wow. And you wonder, do I need to be afraid? And the Spirit's going to tell us, hardly. No fear, no fear. Here's words. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them, but we are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. John says, listen to the voice and remember whose you are. And then there's no fear. You are from God. Back to us on the right and on the left is how we meet our God, or how God meets us. For many of us, if not most of us in this room, we met our God in the waters of holy baptism, probably as infants. When we were, something amazing happened to us, just like with little James today. God met him in the waters of holy baptism. What does that mean? Well, on Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the apostles are in an upper room on this Pentecost Sunday, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus had promised. They speak the gospel in different languages. There's a sound of a rushing wind, tongues of fire on their heads, and people come rushing to figure out the source of the noise. They find these guys preaching about Jesus born in the flesh. And a lot of these Jews were ones who had been there on that Good Friday and called out, crucify, crucify, crucify. And Peter holds it right up to them and says, you guys killed the Son of God. You guys killed the Messiah. And we're told they were cut to the heart. And they said, brothers, what must we do? And listen to Peter's words. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And take note of this. When you get to heaven someday, you're going to meet a person who was Jewish, who cried, crucify, 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 who was forgiven by that same Savior 50 days later, baptized in heaven with you. How cool is that, right? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children. As a baptized child of God, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you are forgiven. It's who you are. It's whose you are, rather. The Apostle Paul addresses it this way in Galatians 3. He says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. What does that mean? Well, when I was a little shaver, like 5, my brother and I can look back now and go, that was just so obnoxious. Why did Mom dress us that way? I had the blue bow tie. Martin had the red bow tie. We had little vests and matching shoes and pants. And those are the Strobel kids. Yep, she did it again. Baptism's like that. We are clothed in the Lord Jesus. James is clothed in the Lord Jesus. He's a child of his Father in heaven. How cool is that? And then you and I spend time in the Word of God. And the Word of God reminds us with its promises who we are and whose we are. Paul says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. We open up the Word, it tells us who we are. The Spirit in our hearts resonates with that Word. Jesus himself said about this Word, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Who we are, whose we are as baptized and redeemed children of God who are free. Free from sin and death and hell, because God really took on flesh, truly died, rose again, gave us life, and every word of this book that he speaks is the very words of our God. You know, when I was, again, a little kid, my mom, I never remember my mom and dad telling us kids, now remember, when you go out into the world, you're a Strobel. And what it means to be a Strobel is this. Or they didn't take my mom's maiden name. Sounds a little bit gruffer. You're a Baumgarten. And no. What they said to us is, you're a Christian. And what that means as a Christian is you have the one who is greater in the than the world living inside of you. Now, we could have a fun discussion about which one is being talked about. The greater is the one living inside of you than he who is living in the world. It could be either Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Both are true. In the context of our verses, it's probably the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't hurt to also think about Jesus living in us. When mom and dad said, you're Christians, they wanted us to remember that we're victors in Christ. We share his victory over sin and death. And what did Jesus do? He said this to his disciples about 5 days before he died. He said, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. My friends, Jesus came into this world and he thumped, he crushed, he destroyed the power of the devil. He cannot accuse us anymore because our sins are forgiven because Jesus died. You are holy. You are a saint. Uncomfortable with that? Get over it because God's not. God calls you holy people, saints, forgiven, victorious, free in Jesus who lives in you. But then the Apostle Paul addresses this, the thought of the Spirit living in us. The Spirit in you right now. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. That's the unbeliever. Why don't they get it? The Spirit's not in them. But considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. We have the mind of Christ. You and I, as Christians, have living in us our Savior Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We are victors over all the things that could scare us, all the things that could confuse us. When we remember who we are and whose we are. So as we close, we come back to a picture of you, a picture of me. And as you look at this sheep, my wife would say, well, he's got some attitude. But as you look at that sheep, she has a thing with animals. As you look at that sheep, would you say that that sheep is a confident sheep or an arrogant sheep? Confident. I would agree. You know, that's good to remember that we are confident with our living. Arrogant sheep tend to push people away from the good shepherd. We are Christians, we're right, you're not, you're wrong. Confident sheep who know how to listen to the voice of the shepherd, who know how to love, who know how to live with a smile, who know how to live at peace when family dies, I'll see him in heaven again. And the world looks and says, hey, you're kind of a confident sheep and you're a nice person. How do I get what you got? And then God's sheep point to the good shepherd. And we share his voice. And we share his word. And we teach them to listen the way we listen. Because you see, to be a sheep, it's to be on alert, questioning what's coming at us, measuring with Scripture, litmus test, Jesus come in the flesh. But to be a sheep is to be humble, yet confident, and to be sheep who love the voice of our shepherd. You see, greater is the one who lives inside of us than the one who is living in the world. Don't be afraid. Just listen for the voice of the shepherd, and he will keep you safe. I want you to pray with your hands out, looking down at your hands, because greater is the one living inside of me. Do you believe that? That inside of you, Jesus lives. Inside of you, the Holy Spirit lives. He's really there. You can talk to him and you aren't nuts. And you'll hear his voice when you're in worship and you're in the Word of God. This is the God-man, the man, God who took on flesh and died for us and gave us life and gave us his Word. When you read the Bible, you hear his voice and he says, I am in you and my Spirit is in you. So as we're praying, just look down at your hands and contemplate Jesus being in you. We pray. Great God and Lord, we come before you today in the name of our Savior Jesus who lives in us and by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. In an amazing gift from you, we trust in you as our Savior God and we love your voice. Help us to be your sheep who follow you with confidence and love because you died for us. Who trust you because your voice tells us you died for us and have given us heaven. And so why wouldn't we trust everything that you say, Lord? Be the voice in my mind through my conscience. Be the voice in my heart through your word. Talk to me about my sin. Forgive it in Jesus. And Jesus, hug me from inside with the forgiveness of your sins and tell me that I'm all right. And shut down the voices inside of me that we just sang about, the voices out there in the world that would crash into us and tear into us. Help us remember that we are your redeemed children of God. We belong to you. And through these waters of holy baptism connected to your word, today you made James your child. So help us to wrap our brains and our faith around what all that means and help us live this week in that grace, that mercy, that peace as we listen to the voice of our shepherd. So Lord, a lot of voices that can speak into our lives. Help us as your sheep to love only yours and then make things all good to your glory and to our joy. Oh, and Lord, help us as sheep talk to the other sheep and tell them about our amazing shepherd and invite them in to your glory and to their joy and peace. And to all these things, we pray in your name and to all these things, God's people say, amen. And now receive with believing hearts the blessing of your God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on the Closer to Christ Sermon Podcast from St. Paul's Lutheran Church and The Bridge in Muskego, Wisconsin. Closer to Christ podcasts are from our current sermon series and are released every Monday morning. For live stream services and other ministry information, please visit us online at stpaulmuskego.org.